Good morning and happy Sabbath. Welcome to Central Study Hour here in Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. Whether you are watching us locally here in the church or somewhere from around the world, we welcome you and we're so glad that you're joining us for today's service. Before we study today's lesson, let us open up our hymnals and sing a couple songs to praise God. Our first hymn that we will be singing this morning is hymn number 505, I Need the Prayers. This hymn is a request that comes to us from Keturah Boney, who writes to us from Trinidad and Tobago. Once again, we will be singing hymn number 505, I Need the Prayers. We will be singing all three verses. Favorite hymn that you would like for us to sing during Central Study Hour, you could let us know by visiting our website at seccentral.org. Once you visit our website, click on the link at the top that says Contact Us, then click on the link from the drop-down menu that says CSH Hymn Requests. There, we please ask that you leave your name, where you are writing to us from, the name of the hymn that you would like for us to sing, and that song's hymn number. We look forward to singing your favorite hymns. Our next song is hymn number 528, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. This song is a request that comes to us from Lainey, who writes to us here from the state of California. Once again, we will be singing number 528, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. We will be singing all four verses.
Shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever may betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the shame.
Thank you for singing with us today for Central Study Hour. Please bow your heads as we have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are mighty, powerful, and glorious, but you are also patient, forgiving, and merciful toward us. I pray that you please forgive us for our sins, and that you send your Holy Spirit down from heaven to dwell within our hearts and prepare our minds for today's lesson that will be brought to us by Elder Brett Stebbins. Thank you for caring for us throughout the week and bringing us safely to another beautiful Sabbath day. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Today's lesson is lesson number 8, Mission to the Needy. And this lesson will be brought to us by Pastor or Elder Brett Stebbins. Have a wonderful Sabbath day.
Happy Sabbath. Well, welcome again to Central Study Hour. Everybody who's here in the sanctuary, it's just a pleasure to be here with you. Everybody who's watching online, on TV, we're glad that you're joining us today. And we are going to be going over the quarterly God's Mission, My Mission. And we're going to be studying lesson number 8, like Carl said. And lesson 8 is Mission to the Needy. Mission to the Needy. So if you hear this and you would like either a CD or DVD of this recording, you can reach out to us at 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org. Give us your information, especially your mailing address, so we can mail that off to you. And make sure that you include on there the offer, which is C202-347. The offer number is also on the screen. So C202-347. We'd love to be able to send you out a copy of this lesson. If you either want to reflect on it or you'd like to share it with somebody else or maybe at one of your local churches. So let's go ahead and get started. So everybody, we can take out the lesson. All right. See, lesson's open. And we are on lesson number 8, Mission to the Needy. Let's start off with, like we always do, with the memory text. So the memory text for this week we find in Matthew 25:40. And it says this. I'll read it straight out of the lesson. And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me." Right? So the question is, who are the least of my brethren? That's who we want to identify, right? Well, we kind of, if you put two and two together, you can see if we're talking about the needy. And then we are also talking about the brethren, the least of my brethren. So those are the brethren or the people who are a little less fortunate, right? For whatever reason it is. They could either be homeless or they could be somebody that's just hurting and is in need, because people think of the needy as usually just the homeless, but that's not the case. We're going to see in this lesson that there are many different types of needies that we can find. And those are all included under the least of my brethren that we're reading about here. So this memory verse is saying that whatever we do to these people, that's what we're doing to God, right? That's how we treat God, is by reaching out to these people. So that can either be a good thing for us or a bad thing, right? Because we may think that we're treating God great, but really, when we're not helping out the needy and we're not reaching out to the least of my brethren, we're really not treating God very well. So what God is calling us to do is he is calling us to reach out to these people, to lift these people up, so that they are not in this needy situation. We're always going to have people in need. We're always going to. But God wants us to do whatever we can with the people who we find ourselves around. Because God, we know that God does not want any of us to suffer, any of his children to suffer. Even the ones that have rejected him, he still does not want them to suffer. So we should help. And you know, we're talking about this mission to people in need, and I personally feel that we have never really done a very good job of this. And I'm talking about as a congregation, right? As a church, we have never fully grasped helping the needy. Don't get me wrong. We have certain programs. We have certain times of the year when we do, right? And I know a lot of people, individual people, that do a lot of outreach and meet these people where they are. But as a group, I feel that we have not really fully grasp that. I think we're getting there. I think with some of the programs that we have going on right now at Sac Central, I think we're getting there. And with a lesson like this and continued study of the Word of God, I think we will get there. I'm positive we will get there. Because, and the reason why I feel that we don't do this well as a congregation is because this is all personal work, right? This is not a work that needs to be shared from the pulpit or shared from a leader to you to be able to do this work. This work should be building up within you. This should be a natural personal work. So, and I feel that once God finally grabs his people and grabs his people together and says, this is my mission, this is what you need to do, I think we'll grow from there. So, not pointing fingers at anybody within the church. I look at myself as well within this group. I could do more, right? I think all of us are thinking the same thing. We could do more, right? So let's see how we can do more. And it's interesting that the way we live in communities and the way we live with our fellow brethren, the ones that are believers and the ones that aren't, is there comes a time when somebody will come and they will help you with something. And then there comes a time where you will go and you will help somebody else out. There's always this rotation, right, of helping others. We all need help. It doesn't matter how strong our faith is or if we feel that we have everything together, we're still going to need help throughout our lives. So there's this give and take, help and then being helped, right? That's just the way that it should be. And we should want to help without always wanting things in return, right? We want to help because we want to help. Because that's the love that we have in our heart is to help. Because that was the love that Christ had in his heart, was to help other people. And sometimes when we help somebody, we may get something in return, but it might not even be from that person. It may be from somebody else helping us, right? We have this in this community and amongst people, we have this thing where we help one another, right? But I think we're seeing that less and less in society, right? We're seeing less help. There's more, you want to say maybe government programs to help people because there is less desire in people's hearts to help out other people, right? And we see that. We see that more and more. We're not seeing people with a willingness to help. And don't get me wrong, there are some good reasons why we may be cautious on helping certain people. But God still calls us to help those people. Right? And this work that we are called to do, this mission of helping the needy, can be a very frustrating and very challenging work. It can be, right? Because when you go and you're helping somebody that is not a family member or a friend, it's maybe just a person off the street or a person that God puts in your path, when you make a commitment to help these people, you have no idea what type of a commitment you just set yourself up for, right? You don't know if it's just helping them one time, maybe find a job, and then they're good and you don't have to help them anymore. But it could be something where you give the person your number and you talk with this person and they need things time after time after time. And we are called to stay constant and stay with these people instead of just, well, hey, I gave you $20. What more do you want from me? Right? So that's why this work can be very frustrating and can be very challenging, but it's still a work that we have to do. And we all are going to run into these situations where we We help out somebody who we didn't think it would take this much work. But we're called to continue all the way through this. If we look at the homeless situation, right? In any city where this is being broadcast, and here in Sacramento, every city has a homeless problem, correct? But what is it that these people need? Do they need food? Do they need water? Is it just shelter? Is it money? Is it mental health, right? We don't know, and there's so many different people. If you go to one homeless encampment and you talk to five different people there, you're probably going to have five different reasons why. All right, so we have this big work, and a lot of us are probably not trained to be able to help out all of these people in every aspect that they need. But there are still plenty of things that we can do, right? Because these people's needs are not just money, right? It could be money. It could be finances. It could be emotional. It could be something physical. They could have some social issues as well. So out of all of those needs, we as people can probably pick out at least one of those things where we can help them. And if you have a person that is down and out and they're homeless and they have nowhere to go, if you can help them out with one of their issues, then it's usually a snowball effect, right? Usually they can get motivated and they can start working on other things. But what we have to do is we have to start. We have to start with a desire to want to help. And we have to start with actually initiating that interaction with people. And once we do that, God is always going to lead us in the way, right? We don't need to be worried about what we have to do exactly at that point when we meet somebody. We always want to have all the answers right away, but we're not going to. That's why we have to rely on God when we're helping these people in need. And we just talked about this being very frustrating, right? And challenging. But it is also very, very rewarding, right? Has anybody had that rewarding experience, right? When you get to help somebody and you're not doing something for yourself, you're actually doing something for somebody else. It feels great. You know, I remember I don't want to toot my own horn because that's not what this example is about, but I remember feeling so rewarded, and I still am in contact with this gentleman today. Maybe about 12 years ago, he came and I was having job interviews because I needed people for my night shift to load up trucks. It was a hard job. And this one guy came in and he was homeless. He lived out of his car and he had a son. So I said, he wasn't very qualified for the job. And I saw he had a lot of issues, but long story short, I gave him a job. It was easier for him because at night he can hardly find places to park his car to sleep. But during the day, he can park in any parking lot and get some sleep. So he's got his own family and his own house now. He's doing well. And all it took was me just giving him a job. Obviously, not everybody can give a job and stuff like that. But it's very rewarding to be able to help somebody and just see how God helped them improve their lives. I still am in contact with him, and he sends me things every once in a while about God. He was not a believer before. He's a believer now, right? And all of these examples and all of what we're doing is when we're helping these needy people is we're reflecting Christ. We're reflecting his work and what his work was when he was here on earth. He did not walk by people and ignore people that were in need, right? He walked by people and he would talk to people that his own disciples and his own followers wouldn't talk to. But he initiated contact. Did he heal everybody? He didn't heal everybody that he came across, but he was always there. He was an example for so many people, right? Some of these people, they just need somebody to talk to sometimes, right? So God is calling all of us to participate in this help. If you look at the last two sentences of the introductory, I know, sorry, we're still in the introduction here, the introductory Sabbath day, it says this, Whatever the needs are, we must be ready to do what we can to help. And this is the one that's going to hurt. It says, this is a central part of what it means to be a Christian and what mission must include. So this, what we're talking about today, reaching people in need, is a central part of what it means to be a Christian. And what does the central part mean? It means that it's at the core of what Christianity is. So if we are not helping people in need, that means that we are not what we say we are. We are not carrying the name of a Christian very well. Right? That's why I said this last sentence would hurt, right? Because this is the core of what everything else is, right? The core of what it means to be a Christian is to help others. Turn with me to Sunday, just right on the next page, Sunday. It says the faith of friends. And I love this story. This is an incredible story. It's about a group of friends, or it's about a group of people who decide to help one of their friends or somebody that they know in an incredible way. Right, so the lesson takes us to a place where Jesus is teaching. And he is teaching inside of a house, in a building, right? In a house. So if you want to, you can turn with me to Luke 5, and we'll start reading with verse 17. It says this, Luke 5, 17. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tilling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, so this is Jesus, man, your sins are forgiven. Let's skip down to verse 24, partway through it. He said to the man who was paralyzed, this is Jesus again, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took upon what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. So just a real quick recap. There's a group of men, and they have most likely a friend, an acquaintance that cannot walk, or a family member. And these men grab this man from his bed. They make something makeshift so they can carry him, and they go and they see where Jesus is teaching. The crowd is too big. They can't get in, so they don't stop there. They think, okay, well, what can we do next? They take him up on top of the house. They destroy the roof. And they drop the man down. Just imagine being inside that house, listening, you're focused on Jesus, and all of a sudden stuff starts crumbling in. You're like, what's going on? And then this man just is brought down. And these people are saying, hey, I know what Jesus is speaking to you guys right now is important, but this right here is more important than anything. Heal this man. Right? And the boy and the man is healed. So they took action, right? These men take action to be able to save and to be able to get this man in front of Christ. So the lesson asks us a question. It says, what lessons can we take from this story about mission and ministry? So one thing that we can first point out is these men, this group of men, made it their responsibility and made this man's, who could not walk, problem their problem. They took it upon themselves. They wanted this man to be healed. And they said, we are going to help you. We are going to grab you, pick you up, and at all costs, we are going to take you to Jesus. Right? And the second thing that we find about the story of this mission is these men, everywhere they turned, they found themselves against barriers, right? The first barrier is, of course, he couldn't walk. They had to pick him up. They had to make something to pick him up, right? And then they get to the house, and what do they have to do? They have to get a man who can't walk on the top of a building. There was no way to get in. The crowd was not budging. They had to get him on the top of the building. And then once they got him on the top of the building, they had to destroy a roof. They had to make something makeshift so that they could lower this man down. So we see here that these people did not give up. Every barrier that they found themselves up against, they broke down that barrier. Do you think they prayed before they went out to do this? I'm pretty sure they probably did, right? And God showed them the way. He showed them the way on how they were going to help this man. And the third thing that we can find out about ministry is at times we need to have an unconventional approach, right? These men were not going to wait for Jesus to stop preaching and to just walk out. These men were not going to wait so that they could ask every person in line so that they could go through. They dropped this man through a roof, people, to be healed. And they had faith that by doing that, because they weren't going to do this if they didn't think it was going to work, right? So by doing this, they showed the faith that they have. Sometimes we need to think in unconventional ways. And we see here in this lesson that Jesus approved of this method. He approved. He improvised. And then after this man was healed, what did these men probably have to do afterwards? They probably had to go fix the roof, right? The homeowner was probably like, yeah, that's great, and I appreciate it, and I'm glad the man's healed, but go get your tools. You got to fix my roof here, right? So they had a desire to bring somebody to be healed. They had a desire to see either an acquaintance or a friend or a family member. They had this desire to help somebody, right? There's a quote from Ellen White in from Testimonies of the Church, Volume 2, page 29, inside your lesson, and it says this: Ellen White challenges us to help the helpless. Don't wait to be told your duty. Open your eyes and see who around you. Make yourself acquainted with the helpless, afflicted, and needy. Hide not yourself from them, and seek not to shut out their needs. Powerful words here, right? Kind of hits us where it hurts, right? Because a lot of us, we wait to be told to help. A lot of us, we wait to have a program going on with the church in order to go out and help somebody, right? And it says in here that we hide from doing this work at times, right? Is Ellen White right on that one? Yeah, we hide sometimes, and we shouldn't be hiding. We should be in the forefront, and we should be looking. Obviously, a lot of us have jobs, we have family, we have things to do. We can't give 100% of our time to doing that because we have to moderate our time, but we all have time. We all have time where we can help some people, right? So we need to get to know these people. We need to see what their needs are. We need to find out ways where we can help these people, right? It's not just $20 to a person that's on a street corner. It's a lot more than that, right? Because Jesus showed us how to help the helpless, right? First become their friends, learn about their needs, and then lead them to him. It's a pretty simple process, right? So let's go ahead and go over to Monday, on Monday's lesson. And Monday's lesson title is Christ's Method Alone. All right, because Christ had a pretty good method on how to get to these people. And it's a five-step process that Ellen White lines out here and in this lesson. And it's called the Jesus method on how to minister to people. Right? So let me just read this before we get into the five step process here. It says this. This is also from Ellen White in the Ministry of Healing, page 143. It says, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. So our method or Christ's method? His method alone, right? We can try and do it on our own, but it's not going to work. Christ's method, right? The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them, follow me, right? So let's go back. Let's see what that all entails, right? So number one, in order to have true success in this, in what we're doing, in reaching people in need, we need to mingle with the people. We need to be amongst them. We need to talk to them, right? We need to spend time with them. In order to know somebody and know what their needs are, it's going to take some time. It's going to take a conversation, right? And we have to get to know what their needs are. And we have to have good intentions on what we're doing as well, right? We have to be able to show these people. So then, in John 5, verse 3, it says this. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. We all know about that story, right? There's a pool, the pool of Bethesda, right? And there's sick people lining the whole place. Sick people, dying people, people that can't walk. And everybody is there in this one place. And the world around them is still going on. But in this one place, there were needy people. So then when there were needy people, where would you find Jesus? Amongst them, right? He was with the sick. He was with the lame. He was talking with them. He didn't worry about getting COVID, right? He didn't worry about getting leprosy from somebody else. He didn't worry about everything. He started off just talking with these people. And that's what we need to do. We need to start off just talking with these people. People that we find, right? We're not just talking about homeless here, right? We're talking about just people in need in general. Sick people, paralyzed people, people who are homeless, or people who are, we'll talk about it later, refugees and immigrants. I mean, there's a lot of people in need. So Jesus is amongst all of these people, and he's talking with them. And the second thing we need to do is show them sympathy, right? When we talk with them, we can't talk with them in the same way we would talk to maybe just a coworker or somebody. We need to really let them know that and sympathize with them, right? Just we can't judge them right away, right? And a lot of us, we may have the tendency to try and judge somebody right off the bat when we start to talk to them. We need to just have sympathy. We need to know that we need to show these people and let them know that we're sincere in our actions. We really want to help. So that's number two. It's pretty easy. Show them sympathy. Compassion. Yes, great. You know, we need to just let them really know that we care. Because I think there's a lot of people who take advantage of them, right? And want to help, but then they don't really want to help. So the third thing we need to do is minister to their needs. Then after we talk, after we get to know them a little bit, and after we sympathize with them, well, then action needs to start, right? Once we understand their needs, action needs to come after that. So we need to minister to their needs. And this involves much more than just talking or a glow track or $20, right? This is action on our part. It's going to cost us some time. It's going to cost us probably some resources to be able to help these people. And we need to focus on these people and what their needs are, because they're going to be different and we're not going to know. We need to try and just grab all the information when we're talking to them about what exactly their needs are. And We need to ask. We see here in the example of Jesus when he was speaking to the paralytic, he asked him what he wanted. And what did he want? He wanted to be healed, right? He wanted to be able to walk again. He wanted to be able to get up. So sometimes we can think that they know what they need, but we need to ask them what they need. Sometimes people, we just assume that all these homeless people need food. Yeah, food's great. We need food to survive, but is that really what they need at that time? You know, they may already have a place to get food and they need something else, right? And one of the interesting things is the lesson has it in here, and it takes us to Mark 1, 23 and 28. I love the book of Mark. It gets right into the action, right, of Jesus and in his work. And there in Mark 1, 23 through 28, Jesus finds himself against a demon-possessed man, right? And Jesus, what he does is he takes control of this situation. Right? He talks to these people. He takes control of the situation. And he does for this man, the demon-possessed man, what he could not do. And what could that man not do? He couldn't get rid of the demon. Can we help get rid of demons inside somebody? Not on our own, right? But hopefully we have that relationship with Christ and we know what to do. Yeah, we can help with that. Right? We need to do for these people what they cannot do for themselves. Right? We need to focus on that. So number three is we need to minister to their needs. And then number four is we need to win their confidence. Because a lot of the help with the needy is not just a one-time thing. Right? That's why these people have a lack of confidence in people that go out and help them, because they think that just going out one time and give somebody a meal is going to help everything. Well, yes, it helps for that moment, but we need to build up their confidence and let them know we are here to help you. We want to take you from being in need to now not being in need. So we need to build up their confidence. We need to share with these people, and we need to be brutally honest with them. Say, I am helping you because I love Jesus Christ, and he calls me to do this. And because he loves you, I love you, and I want to help. And that will help build up their confidence. And okay, this person loves me and cares for me, but he doesn't even know me. She doesn't even know me. Right? But that's what Christ did. He didn't know the people that he was healing most of the time, but he got to know them. He built up their confidence. He showed them that he cares. Right? And then number five is, we have to lead them to Christ. We're not here to just heal physical, emotional needs. The reason why we help these people is because we want to lead them to Christ. That is the reason. Because once they come to Christ, and Christ does not want any of his children to suffer, he will help start the process of getting these people where they need to be. If it's a different place or food or help or whatever that is. So there's five very simple steps to helping the needy. Did everybody catch those? It's very simple. All it takes is us wanting to help others. All it takes is us falling in love with Christ so that the love that we have for Christ overflows into other people. That's what it takes to be able to do this simple, very simple five-step process. I want to continue on here in the lesson. Time's ticking away. And it's very interesting that here at Sacramento Central Church, we have started a program to reach refugees and immigrants here. And what are we studying? What's in the lesson? What are we talking about today? Right? I don't think that any of this is coincidence. I know I see Chang over there. He's got a big smile on his face. And a lot of us do, because a lot of us are starting to get a little bit more passionate about this and reaching some of these refugees and immigrants in our area. God is working and he's doing some incredible things. And that's why when I turned to this, I said, Lord, you're great. You're great. So the topic of helping immigrants and refugees is a very debated topic, right, in this country. What do we do with people that come from other countries and they come here to the United States? But we're not talking about any of that today. We're not talking about any of the political sides and what we should and we shouldn't do. God's calling us to help all the needy, right? So we shouldn't take a stance there. We should just be ready to help, right? So that's what we're doing. And I work in agriculture, and I work with immigrants and refugees. So I think I have a little bit different opinion on the immigration and the reform and the refugees than a lot of the other people. But that shouldn't matter. Like I said, we should be called to help these people. You know, we have in this country right now, we do have a lot of people that are moving from state to state, right? And they're moving from state to state because they no longer agree kind of with what the state has to offer and what the state talks about. So they move to a different state that kind of appeals more to what the kind of lifestyle they want to live, right? Well, it's the same thing as immigration. People are just moving countries. They're moving countries because they're persecuted in their area. Or they can't live a free life. Or they can't be a Christian in their country. Or there's a war in their country, right? All of these people are that come here to the United States are, most of them are great people. They're wonderful people. They're people just like us and we would make the same decision that a lot of them would make. Right? And they're here for, like I said, a lot of different reasons. War, persecution, opportunity. They're here for a lot of different reasons. And we learn here in the lesson, and probably we all know, but we forget, Jesus was a refugee, right? If we go to Matthew 2, verses 13 and 14, it says this, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take your young child and his mother, flee to Egypt.'" Because what was going on at that time? They were trying to kill Jesus. They were killing all the babies. So the Lord says, you need to get out of here. Jesus and his family were refugees. They had to leave. They had to flee for a lot of the reasons that these other people need to flee their countries for their lives. Right? So if Jesus was a refugee, I think we can start supporting some of the refugees that are here. And it's still happening today. We have Muslims, Buddhists, Christians, Hindus, a lot of these people have left for the same reasons that Christ did. And reaching out to these people is difficult, right? Because in the first place, most of the time, we don't get to talk to refugees from Australia, right? Because, I mean, we speak English to them. A lot of these people, the refugees that are coming here, are coming from countries that most of us do not speak their language, right? So it can be a little hard to talk to these people. And we have different customs. We have different ways of dressing. We have different ways of speaking. We have different beliefs and completely different ways of living our lives. But there always is common ground that we can find with anybody in this world. We can find some common ground, right? And because they are refugees and because they are immigrants, this could be even an easier way so they can open up their hearts to Christ and to want to get to know God. Because everybody who's in need should want to get to know Christ. But sometimes we need to show them who Christ is, where Christ is, right? They don't know. Some of these people, they just don't know. And if you have not been here for any of Pastor Rob's sermons, he put something very special, a quote on the board every time, that the ripening is ready for a lot of these people, a lot of these immigrants. So in this case, God calls us to get out of our comfort zone a little bit, right? We want to reach these people, but it's not the same as just reaching somebody who has our same customs and lives here in the U.S., those of us who are from the U.S. here and have lived here for a long time, he calls us out of our comfort zone to reach these people. But to me personally, in my experiences, a lot of these people that we're talking about, are actually easier to reach than people who are born and raised in our own country here. They're more grateful for help. They need help. They want help. And you know what? If somebody is coming from a country where there's persecution, if somebody is coming from a country that is a tough country to live in, and they're coming here for opportunity, and they get here and they step foot in U.S. soil, I am 100% sure that they have seen the hand of God act in their transactions. It's not easy to get into this country. And even when you get here, it's still not easy, right? So a lot of these people have seen God work. We just need to show them that that was God that was helping them all along the way. And that God brought you to this country to get to know the Lord. That was the reason. Yes, you have a job. Yes, you can support your kids. Yes, you have this opportunity here. You're not going to get killed, right, in a war. But that was God's plan, that you came here, not for those reasons, but for the reason of getting to know him. So the lesson has us read some verses, and then it asks us, what is the important theme here for us to remember? So I'm going to go ahead and read some verses that the lesson points out for us. The first one is Deuteronomy 10:19, and it says this, "Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Right? Love our strangers, right? In Psalms 146:9, it says this, "The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down." Romans 12:13, "Distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." And the next one, the final one that the lesson brings us to, is Leviticus 23:22. And it says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor, for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." Amen. So to me, these verses are saying very simply that we need to help strangers. And the strangers that he's talking about are strangers to the land, right? People from outside of that country and that land. God leaves things. He wants us to help these people. And even when people are sowing their fields, he wants us to leave a little bit for those who don't have anything. And those especially who are from other countries. Right? It kind of looks like through these verses that it is our responsibility to reach these people. Right? It's our responsibility. So, like everything, when we are going to help somebody, even a refugee or an immigrant, we first take it up in prayer. Everything starts with prayer. And once we start with prayer, we need to get on Google. We need to get on the internet, and we need to check out and do some research on some of these people, right? What do we have in common? What do they need? Where have they come from? What reasons are they why they're here, right? We can do a little bit of research. We can find out their customs, right? And we can help them where they need to be helped. Because a lot of people, I shared this, I think, was last Sabbath or the Sabbath before, when we went out to the park and we're talking with some of the Afghan refugees. Their help was not the help that I thought they needed. They didn't need food. They didn't need a place to stay. They needed jobs. And they needed dental care, which is what we're going to have coming up, what, tomorrow, right? So, I mean, their needs were not what the needs that I thought they were. So we can do a little bit of research. So we need to help the refugees and the immigrants, because God still classifies them as a group of needy people that need help from us and need help from him. So let's turn to Wednesday. And the title of Wednesday is To Help the Hurting. It has us read this. It says in Luke 4:18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed." We have hurting people all over this world. There's so many people that are hurting. And they're hurting for a lot of different reasons. And the world has an answer for all these hurting people. And it's usually a little type of a pill that you can take, right? And that's the world's answer. Take this pill. My daughter and I like this show on the History Channel. It's just talking about just different history. And we always like when these commercials come up with all these different pills that you can take. And then, take this pill, it'll help you, it'll be happy, you'll have a great life. And then they start listing all of the side effects. And my daughter cracks up every time, because one of them that we used to watch a while ago used to say, "And contact your doctor immediately when you go unconscious." Very hard to contact a doctor if you land yourself unconscious, right? So the world has an answer for the hurting people, and it's usually a pill, right? But God has a different answer. And he has a different answer for each person. And he calls us to be able to reach these people who are hurting. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. And God is calling us to meet the needs of all of these people. All of these people that are hurting in the world, God calls us to help them. And to get them through it. And we need to share Christ with them. And we need to share without wanting anything in return, right? We need, like we said in Christ's method, we need to show compassion, sympathy. We need to show them Christ, help them with their needs. So there's so many people that are in need. And we need to show these people that there is a way to escape all of this pain that they're living in, right? But there's only one way, only one true, long-lasting way to be able to get out of a lot of the pain that the people are on. And that's through Christ alone, through showing them him. And that's what we need to do. The lesson takes us to Matthew 25, verses 30 through 40. And I'll read this to you. It's pretty interesting here. And I want to see if you catch what's said here. It says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came.'" This is what Christ is saying, right? And verse 37, it says, "Then the righteous will answer him saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in?'" And then he continues on. So we have Christ saying that you, these people, these wonderful people, "When you saw me hungry, you gave me food. When I was a stranger, you took me in." But the answer to these people was, "When did we see you? When did we help you?" These people, when they were out in the world helping other people, did not see that they were helping Christ. They saw that they were helping people. And they helped people because they loved these people. Right? They weren't doing this because they wanted to get to heaven. They didn't do this because they knew that it was Christ who they were really helping. They just were helping because that's what they need to do. Isn't that great? So hopefully with our helping, we are not helping because we're thinking, one more token so I can get up to heaven. One more person helped. Hopefully we're just helping these people because they're people and we love them and we want to care for them and help them. All right, let's move on real quick into, we're running out of time here, into Thursday. Greater Love, the title, Greater Love. There have always been people in need amongst us, and there will always be people in need amongst us. And if you're looking for something to do, you know, sometimes I go into my kids' rooms or I see my kids, and what's going on? Most of the time the answer is, I'm bored. Well, if you're bored, Christ has a lot of work for you with all these needy people. All of these people in need, if you need something to do, this is a perfect place to spend your time and spend your efforts in helping other people. This is a special work that Christ has prepared for us. And in the lesson, it says this, it has John 15:13. It says, greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. And the lesson asks us, how do we apply this principle in ministering to others? Right? Is this saying that we need to die for somebody? Physically give our lives and die? Well, maybe in 1% of cases, God calls us to actually die for somebody to save them. But most of the time, no. But what he is asking for is that we take some of our time and give it to others. Stop worrying about what we're doing and our plans and give it to somebody else. Lay our lives aside. Just think about it. If we spent 1 hour a week helping somebody else, and we have more or less 400 active members here in the church, that will total up every year an annual sum of 20,800 hours. 20,800 hours of help to the community, to somebody that's not ourselves. Just to put that into perspective, to build a house, a regular house, it takes a total of 4,400 man hours for everything involved. So we could build 5 houses a year as a church with our time if we all gave 1 hour a week. Think of what 1 hour a week can do for the community. That 20,800 hours. There's a lot of people that we can help, and we're talking about 1 hour a week. We can do more than that. Sac Central, we can do better than that, right? So it's a greater love that we should have for other people to help them, right? Every week at the end, we have a couple of challenges. The challenge number one is this: learn of foreigners or non-Christians who live in your county. Wait, hold on. Sorry. Can't read right now. Learn about foreigners or non-Christians who live in your country. JosephProject.net is a good place to survey unreached people in your culture. So challenge number two is identify someone within your space of influence. Begin regularly praying for the person after answering the following questions. So we're called to pray for somebody after we answer these questions. Is this person my friend? According to Jesus' model of friendship. Is this person my friend? Do I need his, or do I know his or her needs in life? How can I lead them or her to Christ for healing? So those are the challenges that we have. And next week, just a little preview for next week, the title is Mission to the Powerful. How do we reach people in power? Pretty interesting, right? Stay tuned for next week. Thank you for everybody for being here today for our Central Study Hour. If you do want to have a CD or DVD of this offer, reach out to us, 916-457-6511. Email us at csh@saccentral.org. Give us your information. Give us offer C202. 347. We'd love to be able to send you out a free CD or DVD of this offer. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here for Central Study Hour.